The main things that they need to know is that there's yet another compliance aspect that they're going to have to pay attention to and adhere to. The government, for what are valid reasons, you know, in coming into this and trying to really protect workers and that they, you know, every employee should have fair pay and safe work conditions. But in coming into that, we have yet another requirement that's being imposed on just federal contractors, and it's yet another infrastructure compliance measure that they're going to have to put into place. So what they really need to do is, pending while this is being implemented, which, you know, from what I'm reading is going to be not really until about effective until sometime in 2016, they need to assess internally where are the areas that they are at risk. Because the biggest concern I have in reading this is that good companies do make honest mistakes. And should those companies be inadvertently penalized as a result for certain violations that may occur that were honest mistakes but do get rectified?
And so I guess that's one of the questions about the implementation process. As the agencies go through and draft implementing regulations, I guess we've got to wait and see whether there is some kind of process to decide, was this an intentional violation or not?
Correct. And there's absolutely a process that the executive order has put into place to direct the FAR Council as far as regulations and how, you know, and guidance that they need to be putting into place for both sides of the equation here, the government as well as contractors. What's the unknown and what is new is this labor compliance advisor role. And the labor compliance advisor role is a resource to the contractors as well as to the contracting officers for implementing and executing and interpreting some of these regulations and what they mean. I should say regulations, I guess, any potential violations. The concerning part here as well is that it's very subjective. We really don't have black and white. If there's a violation, it was rectified, it was fixed, but does that rise to the level where it needs to go to a debarment official within the agency?
What, as far as we know, based on the EO, what are the other potential consequences for a labor law violation? You mentioned debarment. What else could happen?
Well, that's the worst case scenario, and certainly not getting the contract award in and of itself, period. You're not going to be considered for the award.
These violations, as I understand it, are going to go into the Federal Awardee Performance and Integrity Information System. Once that information is there, what does a contracting officer do with that information?
They use that. The contracting officers have a task at hand where they are to do a responsibility assessment for anybody that's bidding on a contract. So that is certainly one of the factors that they take into consideration, as well as a technical performance and other compliance with some of these new regulations. You know, a bunch of these executive orders that are coming out targeting just the contracting community.
I also understand that the executive order doesn't apply to commercial items. Do you have a good sense of exactly how big that carve out is? Does it just mean that you won't be evaluated on these potential labor law violations during an individual procurement for a commercial item?
Correct. Anything that is relative to the government acquiring commercial item is exempt from this executive order. As it stands today, there are also certain collective bargaining agreements, not specifically named, but certain situations where they would be exempt from certain provisions because there are already technically labor agreements in place.
And you mentioned earlier that there are unintentional violations of the law that sometimes happen by honest companies. This executive order covers 14 different labor laws. Are you thinking of any particular category of violations that happen as honest mistakes?
One of the ones that we see that tends to be out there from just a broad community perspective would be Service Contract Act compliance, just understanding that you're even subject to it. And I think Fair Labor Standards Act, from whether you're a contractor or not, you know, is something that's always very, I think, very complicated. And I think that labor law is one of the most complex areas for interpretation, and this just exacerbates it then, because there's a long list of all these labor laws that they're required to, where some of them may not even be applicable to companies, but there's still a very wide umbrella that they've placed over this.
This question's probably really hard to answer until we get further down the implementation path, but do you have any sense of what the costs are going to be to comply with this executive order? I assume it's one of those things that big firms can handle just fine with their in-house staff, and it's probably going to be a little bit more of a burden for smaller companies.
I absolutely agree with that, although I do believe with big companies, it's still yet another process that they have to manage and put into place, especially if you have multiple offices across the country or even across the world, but they're doing work with the government. So there's definitely going to be a cost that is going to hit the indirect rate. So the question becomes, do the contractors have the ability to pass it through? Well, it's a very competitive marketplace. That makes it difficult. And, you know, what's going to give then for the cost of this? There's the other side, which is harder to quantify, which is the labor compliance advisor. Those roles don't exist today. So where is the money going to come to pay for that? That has to be implemented. And what I'm surprised by is that you know, if it was corporate America, you would try to use technology to communicate information, one would think, as far as, you know, significant labor violations or where a company has not remedied a situation. Where a company hasn't remedied a situation, perhaps those are the ones that should be communicated. And there should be some place to streamline it with DOL to the other government agencies. One would think that that would be more efficient, at least in dollars.
Right. So some of the reaction I've seen to this is, yeah, it's another compliance burden, but it's not as draconian as what could have gone through Congress, or I guess still is possibly working its way through Congress in appropriations language on the Senate side. You basically agree with that sentiment?
There certainly have others that have been more draconian. I agree with that. However, this is just yet another one that has been piled on. He's had three in the past several months that are focusing just on government contractors. And where it becomes more complicated is some of this is very fluid right now, but I'm seeing in the legal world circles hearing that there may be some contradictions with other federal laws, and how do you balance those two? So there's a lot of uncertainty and unknown that still needs to play out with this. Mm-hmm. And I think that's creating a lot of the angst.
And I totally get that there's stuff here for companies not to like. But on the other hand, I think one of the pushes behind this has been, you know, various GAO reports and other audits finding that, you know, there really are some bad eggs out there that keep getting government contracts. On the plus side, shouldn't honest companies be happy that they're not going to be competing against firms who are cutting corners and violating labor laws and not behaving on the up and up?
Well, I think that for companies that have not had any situations, any, you know, hiccups, let's call them, along the way, assuming that they're the good companies, right, those that haven't, this is a huge competitive advantage for them, that they are, that they haven't had a track record of any of this happening. So for those that are positioned there, they are in a great place from that perspective. There's no question. The only thing that I think is a unique dynamic that could exacerbate this is that you do have, you know, an aging workforce within the government, you know, the contracting officers. And these are contracting officers that have years of knowledge and history of understanding how regulations get implemented and how they get interpreted and working with contractors. Well, GAO had put out a report not that long ago, earlier this year, that said effective September 2017 that there's 31% of the government-wide workforce will be eligible to retire. Well, this goes into place 16 to 17. You've got a transition period where you could have potentially more inexperienced contracting officers interpreting this in the long run. And that has me a little bit more of, you know, yet another uncertainty and a dynamic that we haven't even considered, because it's not in the rules. It's kind of implementing this.
Right. And what else could we see, I guess, in terms of enforcement of whatever regulations come out of this executive order besides just on the front end on the contracting side? I mean, could you see Labor Department audits periodically, that kind of thing?
Oh, I would think so. But if, you know, if somebody self-imposes it, you know, that's a conundrum. You know, if they have to self-report it, they certainly don't want to invite a labor law audit. But I would believe that depending on the magnitude, the Department of Labor is going to be looking at that.